Yes, welcome to the Biz Communication Show. I'm your host, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy. And today you and I have a special privilege to learn a lot from a longtime prominent sports broadcaster. And I've known him for years. I know all of his accomplishments, but this reflects the guy pretty well, that he said to me, "Bill, all I want for an introduction is Jeff Dantzler, University of Georgia broadcaster." There's much more to say about this guy, but that's what we're going to say for right now. So let's welcome Jeff Dantzler. Hello, Jeff.
Mr. Lampton, it's always great to see you, my friend. Always enjoy being on with you. And I just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. That's a good lesson in life.
That old KISS principle, right?
Yes. Kiss.
Yes, indeed. Jeff, one of the things that I think I should mention, our podcast listeners won't know it. Our YouTube and otherwise viewers will know it. I wore red and black today. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. Everybody looks great in red and black, as you can see in some of my wall art behind us in my office slash museum. There's a good bit of Georgia in here. I always said, outside of my parents, I've loved the Georgia Bulldogs, University of Georgia, longer than anything in my life.
Well, and that comes across so well, Jeff. That comes across in your life and your career and your broadcasting. I'll tell you, as you know, I taught speech communication at the University of Georgia. That was the start of my professional career. And you will enjoy this. The first class I had, I remember about the fifth week, one student who was very well-meaning came up to me afterward and said, "Dr. Lampton, do you have any clothes that aren't red and black?"
No.
I was in the spirit, very much in the spirit. Jeff, to start with, I noticed, of course, in looking at all that you've done, that you have broadcasted every sport. I wonder if table tennis and pickleball are next, because you have been the guy calling practically every sport. So it leads me to a logical first question, and that is, what sports in your pre-adult years were you engaged in actively? What sports did you participate in?
I was a pretty good tennis player growing up, and loved basketball, played baseball. I played a couple of years of football. I'm a chicken hawk. I wasn't tough or mean enough. So I always say I played tennis and watched football. But yeah, basketball, football, baseball, golf, tennis were all my favorites. But I've always loved sports, and it didn't take me long, I've always said, to figure out I was not going to be the next Herschel Walker, Dominique Wilkins, Reggie Jackson, or Michael Pernfors, or Tom Watson. So I figured I needed another avenue to do what I loved. And I love the Bulldogs, and I love athletics. So I'm 50, and here I am.
You covered the bases pretty well there with some of the idols of the game. I have to tell you about my very short football career, Jeff. I was in the seventh grade and decided I would go out for football. And I'll always remember with great pride the day that I stepped on the scales and my weight had gone up to 100 pounds.
There you go.
But guess what? I was playing right tackle. That didn't work out too well. And so some years ago, one of my grandsons asked me one day, "Papa, what sports did you play? Did you play football?" And I said, "Well, in football, my position was L.O. He said, "What was that?" I said, "Left out." and then he understood. Okay, you've been a very avid fan and participant in many sports. So this leads me to the next question. Many of us in our profession, whatever it is, we have some role models. Our role models are not necessarily people that we try to imitate, because we need our own style and there's only one original, as we know, but we learn from role models. We don't imitate them, but we pick up what makes them so successful. In your broadcasting career, are there any role models that you might mention?
Larry Munson and Dan McGill, no question. Those were my two heroes when it comes to the business. Coach McGill, the greatest Bulldog ever, did everything, and he had what we say is inimitable, but everybody imitates him. And then, of course, the mighty Munson was just the greatest in that golden time when he came around. There just weren't that many games on television. So I think for so many of us young Georgia fans growing up, he was that lone link to the games. You know, if you weren't there, especially if it was a road game. And just hearing that voice and how descriptive he was and the way he could tell a story. So those are the two guys, Munson and McGill, from the business end of this, from a broadcasting standpoint, a writing standpoint. Those guys were always my heroes for kind of outside of Georgia. I think the writing of Dan Jenkins, he and Coach McGill are my two favorite writers. And Al Michaels, Marv Albert, those guys were just – Vin Scully were tremendous. But it's Larry Munson and Dan McGill. Those are my guys.
Yes, Larry Munson in football and Dan McGill in tennis. And of course, I remember both of them very well. It's fascinating to me what you mentioned about before television came along. I certainly was a part of that era. And it's interesting, I think, Jeff, that a great broadcaster could take a game that was fairly mundane and make it sound like one of the fiercest games ever played. I remember as a kid, I grew up in Mississippi, and I was there in the days that Ole Miss went to practically every Sugar Bowl game during my young years. And that was the only time you'd ever see the team on television. So radio, you know, Joel Williams here in Gainesville, Georgia, and Joel has often quoted that radio is the theater of the mind. And that's true, because radio can bring to life and create pictures when you don't have the television screen there.
It really can. And that's why the great broadcasters are the true masters of doing just that. I was watching it might have been the Ken Burns baseball special or a documentary on the golden age of baseball, whatever it might have been. The St. Louis Cardinals were a very popular team in the South, especially before the Braves, because of KMOX. It's channel 1120 on the AM dial. It's a tremendous booming signal. And people would listen to Harry Carey at the time and Jack Buck call the games. And there was a story of a couple that finally got to go to a Cardinals game. And when they got home, they were asked about it. They said, well, it was really good. We enjoyed it, but it wasn't as exciting as when Harry Carey talked about it. So it's like he said, he can make a great announcer, can make a 5-0 game in the middle of July and make that 2-1 pitch just seem like everything. And I always said with the Munson, the sheer agony he could put you in when the opposing team had a 3-yard run from their 34 to their 37-yard line with us winning 17-0. He twists and turns and fights, and it just, oh, my God, hang on, dogs. But, yeah, the great announcers in the radio day, so descriptive, and that really is a golden age. And with every game on television now, I get it how the whole game has changed, but I know for me, I always just try and just describe what I'm seeing. And if you like it, great. If you don't, sorry.
I have many comments that I can make about football television broadcasters, but I might have to use my golf course language if I did. So I will refrain from that. Jeff, we'll be back in just a minute to talk about some more aspects of sports and sports broadcasting after this business information item.
Do you wish you felt confident about giving speeches? Do you want to deal with difficult people constructively? And what about becoming more persuasive in sales? Then keep listening now to Dr. Bill Lampton. He spent 20 years in management, so he knows the communication skills you need for success. I urge you to call the Biz Communication Guy today for a no-cost but very valuable 30-minute discussion about your communication challenges. Call now, 678-316-4300. Again, that's 678-316-4300.
Jeff, you know, getting back to what you said about the great announcers could make a game sound so exciting. I remember an announcer from decades ago, Mel Allen. Mm-hmm. And Mel Allen had this rather bombastic style. I remember one time he was broadcasting an Ole Miss Mississippi State game, which of course is the year-end game, the rival game in Mississippi. It was a, and this was before we had had to determine a winner, and the score of the game was 0-0, the final score. And Mel Allen said it was the most exciting game ever played.
Well, Mel Allen is one of the all time greats. He has the longtime voice of the Yankees, and he's an old Southern guy too. But where he became famous was on the television show when I was a kid, This Week in Baseball. And they would have all the highlights. And that's back when nationally there was a Saturday afternoon game and a Monday night baseball game. And that was it. That's why it was so cool. We got TBS and the Braves. I remember saying, like, wait a minute, it's a Tuesday night in June and I can watch a baseball game. How novel that was. But I always loved Mel Allen. That's all for this week. See you next week on This Week in Baseball. And he was fabulous. And just that era. And of course, timing is so much of it. But those legendary, iconic broadcasters in the radio game, they were able to weave this incredible tapestry. And then the fact that just not many games were on television, I think made them stand out more and made those figures so beloved. I mean, I can tell you at Georgia, you know, for Coach McGill, for Coach Dooley, who we just lost, and you know, so many great players through the years, from Herschel Walker and, you know, Charlie Trippi, who we just lost, and all the beloved stars you've had. I mean, Larry Munson is every bit as popular a Georgia icon, if not the most popular, of anybody ever associated with the University of Georgia. And he was, you know, in many ways, you felt like the number one fan. And I think as a fan, he's telling you what's happening, but he's rooting on and cheering on the Dogs. And, you know, Tigers fans would tell you that about Ernie Harwell. You know, yes, the Dodgers, who are the greatest Dodgers? Jackie Robinson, Sandy Koufax, the greatest Dodgers, Vin Scully. That's the link to so many different decades and generations. And so I just, again, growing up admiring a lot of these guys, and especially for those broadcasters who were fortunate enough to do it at one place for a long time, be it with a professional team or with a school, there is a bond there with a fan base that goes incredibly deep.
Yes, you knew that they were not just hired hands. They really had an affection, a dedication, a devotion to the school, and they were the biggest cheerleaders of all, weren't they?
Yeah, yes, they were, and I think that's one of the things. If I'm broadcasting a Georgia game on the Georgia network, you know, I'm obviously for Georgia to win, but at the same time, you have to paint an accurate picture of what's happening. And if we're getting beat, we're getting beat. And you've got to give the other guy credit as well. So I think you have to be realistic. I think you have to tell the true story of what's happening. But, you know, knowing that you're doing it from a Georgia angle and wanting Georgia to win. I can remember I sit next to the great Claude Felton at every home game, and I used to sit next to Coach McGill, and we made an interception, and I was just so mad. And he said, well, Jeff, remember, their boy's on scholarship too. I said, that's a good point. So you got to shoot it straight. You got to tell it like it is and call it like it is. But, you know that you're wanting your team to win. And that's why when times are good and you are winning, you better enjoy every second. And we are certainly in a golden era for the University of Georgia Bulldogs right now.
One of the things I want to comment on, which some of our viewers and our podcast listeners might not be aware of, I commend you and the University of Georgia broadcast team for making yourselves so publicly accessible on football game days. For years, I've so enjoyed walking by the university bookstore, and there you are with four or five of the true other, because you're one, the true other icons of University of Georgia sports. You're there broadcasting while tens of thousands of people are getting ready to go into the stadium. And when you go on a commercial break, there are people lined up to have their photo taken with you. I haven't gone to any games in recent years when I didn't do that, because it's a treat. And the way that you and Eric Zier and Lauren Smith and DJ Shockley this time and Hondo Williamson, the way you say, oh, we're so glad to see you, it just makes us feel like celebrities as your guests. That's wonderful.
Well, it's one of the deals. We're all on the same team here. It's the Georgia people. It's a great family, and I think that's one of the great things about athletics. The now retired preacher Chuck Hodges from Athens First United Methodist, who's just brilliant. You know, Chuck would always weave in a lot of sports and history in his sermons, because, as he said, I know a lot of you get your best sleeping done in church. So he would always keep it good and interesting with stuff like with tales of football and baseball. And he put across a great message one time. And what he said was that one of the reasons why he loved Georgia football and going to Sanford Stadium, Dooley Field, so much was that everybody there was for something. You know, you're for Georgia, and that's always going to be the case. This thing that for so many of us we've loved for such a great portion of our lives. So I think that unification, it's an incredible thing. And it's interesting, too, in sports. I have no idea who it was, so I kind of stole it. But someone said one time, and I don't know if it was a fan, an announcer, a player, or who, but it always stuck with me, that it's the losses that unify us. And I was thinking about that after we had won the national championship, and I was just so overcome with joy that, you know, thinking about coming back in 1993 with my friends Jay and Ty and David from an Ole Miss game where we had lost to fall to 1-3 en route to 1-4 and then 5-6, and just some dark days, losses to Vanderbilt, you know, losing to Tech, heartbreakers to Florida, to Alabama. And, you know, just you stick with your team and you pull together through those hard times. You know, it's the losses that I think really unify and bring you together, because, you know, they're always going to be bandwagon fans for whoever's winning. And that's why when you do have those special days, you got to enjoy them. And for that national championship, I just thought about, you know, for football and for various sports, just some long road trips and some days and nights that didn't go our way. And then in the end, to be sitting on the mountaintop, how special that is.
Yes, and it's true in our professional life as well. We learn from our losses. Certainly, it's great when we make a big sale or get a new job or get a new client or get a promotion or get a raise. Those things are all fine, but that's that's not every day. And no. So there, I think sports many times is used in good ways as sort of a metaphor for life. In sports, you have to endure, as you say, those tough times. Jeff, we have time for one more question.
Yes, sir.
I'll have to tell you, when you're having fun, time flies, doesn't it?
It does. It's fun. Is it like a 10 minutes or 15? It can seem like forever or for like 30 seconds. And it always flies by with you. That's the ultimate compliment.
Right. Well, okay. One question I'd like to ask is, the broadcasting career is like many other careers. It's very similar to somebody who wants to be a well-known author or somebody who wants to be an actor or somebody who wants to be a professional athlete. There are thousands, there are many thousands of people who want to do that. They're wannabes. Many of them are very well qualified. What would you say, as succinctly as you can, to somebody who looks at what you do and looks at what the others I've named do and the others you've named do, and they want to be in broadcasting, what would you tell them? What are the steps to take?
I would tell them to do it as a hobby, to go get a real job and do sports or do something like this for fun, because it is a tough business. There's not a lot of money, and the fact that so many people do want to do it or get involved with it, the old supply and demand is going different. And I think that there are times, you know, like anybody else, I think, boy, I'd really like to be doing this. I wish I had that. But then I think, you know what, if I quit tomorrow, there would be hundreds of people who would love to be in my shoes right now. So I do think you have to, you know, appreciate everything you've got. We all know that, but it is a difficult business. And, you know, you're working on weekends, games are played at night. So you've really got to love it. You've got to get used to dealing with disappointment and just plugging along. And I'm fortunate for, we always want more, right? I mean, we always want more. I'm just very fortunate right now. We've got great leadership at the University of Georgia, and with everything that's happening with the program, with obviously with what Kirby's done with the football team. These are just
Coach Kirby Smart, right?
Or as one of our callers calls him, Coach King Kirby Smart. These are just great times. It is a very difficult position. It's basically like being in show business. And, you know, when I hear, oh, golly, that's not even work. Or, oh, man, I'd do that for free. The people who write the checks are aware of that. So.
Yeah, I'll tell you another point here, and then I do have one final question. But another point here. As you mentioned, it's very tough to break into. But another point, if you break into it and you're only in a medium marketplace, and I can name some cities in Georgia that have television stations, many people think that if you're on the air on television as a weather person, sports person, news person, or whatever, that you're just rolling in money. But you know what? When those people go through the checkout line at the grocery store, it doesn't make any difference that they're on the screen. And I have had wonderful friends across the years in the media. And when I found out what some of them were making, I knew they just had to absolutely love the profession.
That's exactly right. The actor Alan Alda said when it comes to fame and fortune, I'll take the fortune every time. it's a wonderful business, and I love it. I've made so many friends with it, and you know, to be able to be involved with the university that I love so much, and to be around so many wonderful people, and it's amazing the unifying power that the University of Georgia has in this state. I mean, I have been blessed to be around so many great people and some very prominent and successful people that I never would have thought when I was a little kid growing up in Statesboro that I'd be rubbing elbows with. So again, that's that unification of it. It's what we love. It's the university. And again, it's that power of the G. And again, like Chuck Hodges said, it brings us all together because we're all for something. And it's great to be a part of it. I'm so honored to be a part of it.
Well, you honor the university with your wonderful Thank work. You. And the final question that I just got to squeeze in. I know, of course, that with all of your professional activities, you still are a wonderful humanitarian. And one of your causes is the Humane Society. Tell us briefly why that means so much to you and why you advocate it.
Oh, I love animals. And by the way, I'm proud of Albus and Hermie, I guess because it's raining today. They hadn't been going crazy barking at every dog that walks by. And, you know, and I'm glad Miss George is feeling better for you. But
yeah, Miss George is my 8-year-old toy poodle, for those who don't know. Many people do. I tell everybody, but she's my beloved toy poodle.
Oh, man. So I love animals. And I think the work, people who do work for animals, we've got a wonderful vet school here at Georgia, which is just terrific. So anybody who loves animals, you know, you got a big heart. And I just think, you know, what the Humane Society does with all these different organizations at the UGA Vet School, we do a wonderful fundraiser every year called the Hawaii Doggo, where we all put on Hawaiian shirts and there's a great band and bid on Georgia Bulldog stuff. And all the money goes to the vet school for scholarships and to help pets. I just think it's a wonderful thing because they certainly enrich our lives. There's only one thing wrong with them. They don't live long enough,
but that's right.
We love animals and it'll do anything for them. And I guess that's fitting since University of Georgia, we got the greatest mascot in the world, Ugga.
That's right. Well, I commend you for your philanthropic work. Jeff, I know that there are so many of your admirers, friends, fans, and the people who are just now hearing you on the Biz Communication Show who want to get in touch with you. So please share your contact information.
Just the best way to reach, I guess, is on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Dantzler TV. So just shoot me a tweet. We always say that during games. And by the way, we've used Twitter as the interaction. Dave Johnson and I, Dave does a great job. He's a good friend. We call the Georgia baseball games together. And we got, I think last season, listeners from 37 different states, 37, 38 different states and six or seven different countries that would tweet in during a game where they were listening from. So wow. I think that's a really cool thing. And I love that type until it starts getting political. Everybody loves politics on Twitter and Facebook, right? Yeah, there's nothing better than that. So shoot me a tweet.
I have put nothing political, and I will not on any of the social media, because I'm not going to change anybody's mind. No. Not that they're going to change mine. And for the most part, it just alienates people. So to heck with that. Jeff, now that you've given your contact information, I'm delighted to give mine for our viewers and our podcast listeners. Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy. So quite logically, my website is bizcommunicationguy.com. And I invite you to go there. Also, I really encourage you to check my YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, look in the search bar. I'm there as Bill Lampton, PhD, and many of the interviews that I've hosted on the Biz Communication Show are there. This one will be. And then certainly I encourage you to, after that, give me a phone call, 678-316-4300. And I will be so eager to talk with you and to discuss your communication challenges and problems and see how I can assist you with them. And Jeff, any closing words for our viewers and listeners?
Always great to be with you, my friend. And let's just keep hunkering down, you hairy dogs. And I don't know when this interview's posting, but we're taping it the week of the Kentucky game. Beat Kentucky, beat Tech, win the SEC, then go win two more, and let's go win back-to-back national titles.
You think big, my friend.
Not too.
We all do. Thank you so much, Jeff Dantzler. It's a privilege to know you. It's a privilege to host you. And stick around. We'll talk a minute afterwards. For now, thanks to those of you who joined us for the Biz Communication Show. Be with us again. We will want to have you with us. Thank you so much.